Hello, welcome to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This week, a look at Frameline, San Francisco's international LGBT film festival, and we'll have clips from three of the featured films. Imagine you've been a filmmaker and a major film festival director for many years, and you've arrived from Australia last year to take charge of Frameline, one of, if not the, largest and oldest LGBT film festival in the world. Early this spring, you're madly ramping up for Frameline's big annual festival, always in June to coincide with Pride Month, and which attracts tens of thousands of queer film fans to a half dozen or so San Francisco and Bay Area movie theaters. Then COVID hits. Theaters are closed. No one knows for how long, but you figure it's safe to schedule it for September. Surely things will be better by then. Well, Frameline 44 is happening this month, running 11 days from Thursday, September 17th through Sunday, September 27th. But it will be, save for a drive-in on opening night, all online. Well, that might be one of the weirdest intros I've ever written, but these are weird times. My guest is Frameline's executive director, James Woolley, whose shoes perhaps you have imagined yourself in over the past minute. He's here to share with us details of this year's Frameline Festival of Queer Cinema, the first one almost completely online, and perhaps his tales of getting it all together and his background and experience in LGBT film. James Woolley, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for your time. I know you must be busy as heck this week. Let's start with the highlights. As in past years, Frameline's 2020 festival features films from around the globe, 23 countries in all. If I've counted right, nearly 40 presentations in all, including a half dozen shorts packages. One new element is a drive-in movie on opening night. But we can't say the name of that one on the air, so we'll have to call it SH blank T and Champagne, or perhaps Shh and Champagne. We'll hear a clip from it shortly. James, how did you decide on a drive-in and why this film?
It's just so important to connect with people still, even if it is through the windows of your car. We just needed to have the screenings where our audience could come together, laugh together, watch a film together, and be a community, even if they are socially distanced. So a drive-in is the perfect solution for that. We actually did one earlier on in the year in June for a beautiful film called Ahead of the Curve, and we sold almost 1,000 cars, and the atmosphere was electric. People were so thrilled to be celebrating Pride with us in a drive-in, and we just knew we had to replicate that again. And what a better film than this film I can't pronounce on the radio, but Champagne we'll call it. It's just so San Francisco. It's directed by Darcy Jollinger, who is at the Oasis Club here in town and makes so many great, fun shows. And this is an original of his. It was a stage show first, and now it's a film. And I just know that the audience are going to laugh all night long and just have the very best time you can have in a drive-in in 2020.
And since it's kind of a spoof on, I think they call them sexploitation films of the 1970s, it's kind of fitting that it's in a drive-in. So let me play this clip. It's from a scene early in Shh and Champagne. Champagne, an exotic dancer, is backstage at the Shaboom Boom Room. Her boyfriend, Rod, has just been shot, and he staggers in.
Rod, help! Somebody help!
Champagne. It's no use, baby.
Then I'll scream louder. Help!
No! Don't.
Okay.
Champagne?
Uh-huh.
You remember that big thing I wanted to talk to you about?
Uh-huh.
Will you?
I do.
Will you listen to me?
Wait, what?
Mallwart. Evil plot. Huh? Sex. Drugs. Dixie Stampede.
Oh, Rod, this is no time for riddles.
You don't understand.
A limerick thing?
No, haiku. I was employee of the month.
Is that a haiku?
Champagne.
I'm sorry, darling, that was a bad haiku.
Champagne.
Uh-huh.
Trust no one.
Why, Rod? What? What? Rod? Rod? Oh, God, please don't die. Oh, God, no, no.
That's part of a short scene from Shh and Champagne. or SH blank T and Champagne, starring director and writer Darcy Drollinger playing the part of Champagne. Without giving too much away, it's a slapstick send-up of 1970s sexploitation films with dance. Champagne gets no help from the cops at first, so has to uncover on her own a plot by evil Mallwart owner Dixie Stampede to enslave people by getting them addicted to booty bumps. That's taking drugs up the butt, which apparently leads some folks to poo in their pants, hence the film's title, SH blank T and Champagne, and madness ensues. I've seen the stage show. It is a hoot. The film plays Thursday, September 17th at the West Wind Solano Drive-In in Concord. But James, I haven't been to a drive-in in years. How does it work these days? If you have a small car, how do you make sure you don't get stuck behind a big truck? That's my fear, not be able to see the screen.
We love this drive-in because each of the car spaces are raised. So you actually drive up on a little bit of a hill so that you get perfect view of the screen. So no worries about someone in front of you. You've got a great view. It's the most fun you can have, honestly, if for a cinema experience in 2020. It's really worth coming to.
Okay, fantastic. So the rest, and this particular film is the only one that is not viewable online. It's only at the drive-in. The rest of the films in Frameline 44 are viewable online only, yet there are preferred viewing times. So tell us how that works, please.
Yeah, we suggest that the audience all come together and watch the film at once. We actually did an experiment in June about this, and we discovered that 80% of our audience were happy to follow the suggested times. And it just promotes togetherness. It means people are watching a Q&A together as well afterwards and asking the directors questions. And it makes it feel like a real festival event. You don't have to watch them at our suggested times. We actually have all of our films up for the full 11 days of the program. So you can fit things in as you wish. But we found that promoting togetherness, that watching things, knowing that other people are watching at the same time, people love it. They really respond.
That's great. But you can watch them anytime. Yep. And what's the pricing like? How does that work?
It's super easy. It's just $10 per film. And there are packs that you can buy the whole program if you'd like, but a lot of people just like to see three or four titles. It's a very cheap, you know, couple of nights in.
Well, I'd want to play a clip from another film that I just watched last night, actually. It's called Gossamer Folds. This presentation is a San Francisco Bay Area premiere. It's the directorial debut of Lisa Donato, who co-screen wrote a festival fave a few years ago, Signature Move. It's described as a heartfelt tale of big dreams and unlikely friendships. It's set in 1986 Missouri, newly relocated to the Kansas City suburbs and trying to adjust to his new surrounding as his parents' marriage crumbles. Little 10-year-old white boy, Tate, sparks a strong bond with two of his neighbors, a black trans woman, Gossamer, and her retired English professor father. It's really sweet, well-written, well-acted, directed, and beautifully shot. So in this scene from Gossamer Folds, Gossamer is getting ready to go out. She's in her bedroom with her longtime older friend, Jimbo, who sees her putting a knife in her purse.
What are you doing with that? George?
Preparing to protect myself if need be.
From who? Is someone messing with you?
You don't have a clue. None of y'all have any goddamn idea what I gotta go through on a daily basis just to live my life, just to be myself. I swear I can't wait to get the fuck out of here.
Georgie!
Gossamer. My name is Gossamer. Damn it, Jimbo, for the past 7 years, all I've asked you to do is to call me by my name. Why can't you remember that?
I'm sorry, Gossamer. I promise I won't forget again.
I mean, why is it so difficult? Why is all of this so hard? I'm living in a cage, Jimbo. All I see is bars, closed doors, and me being stuck here for the rest of my life. Hell, even if I save up enough money, things may not even be better in New York. They may not be better nowhere, so tell me that there's something out there better for me.
It is. I know it is. It's gonna be better.
That's a scene from Gossamer Folds. Alexandra Gray is playing the part of Gossamer. You may know her from Fox's Empire. She plays the part of Melody Barnes. Or as Eliza Parks on Transparent. She's in the scene with Ethan Suplee, who plays Jimbo. James Woolley, your thoughts
Gossamer Folds is just a really sweet, lovely film, and it's very timely, even though it's set in 1986. It's a film that if you're looking for a lovely night in and you'd want to watch something that you know you're going to really feel something afterwards, this is a film to pick. I think Gossamer Folds will be a real favorite of the festival.
Yes, and I'm sorry that we don't also have a clip to play with Jackson Robert Scott. He's the boy who plays 10-year-old Tate, arguably the central character. He plays him wonderfully. It's, like as you said, very sweet, inspiring film. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen speaking with Frameline Executive Director James Woolley about Frameline 44, Frameline's International Queer Film Festival, which runs Thursday, September 17th through Sunday, September 27th, mostly online, but opening with the drive-in world premiere of SH Blank T and Champagne. So briefly, before we talk about other features, including the shorts programs that Frameline is famous for, how are filmmakers and Frameline doing these days, you know, being hurt by and surviving through this ongoing pandemic when we can't gather in theaters or, for that matter, to see plays or music or anything else? How dire is Frameline's financial situation, and how about individual filmmakers?
It's certainly been a year we won't forget. Frameline itself is doing fine. We actually are. We've been very blessed with great ticket sales, with great sponsor retention, with great member retention, and a good base of support to draw upon for donations as well. So we feel like 2020 is a year we're going to get through okay. It's just funny, a digital festival is not a good business model for a film festival. You just will never be able to sustain a company off it. So we're looking forward to returning to venue when it's safe to do so, but we're going to be surviving this COVID era just fine. As for filmmakers, it's just such a diverse group of people, and there are certainly some films and filmmakers that have just put 2020 on hold. They aren't able to shoot. They aren't able to progress with their work. Perhaps they're starting new projects by writing. Some are financially struggling. Others are doing well. It's just a reminder that art and creating, people who create, they're very important to our community. And I really encourage everyone to support the artists and filmmakers that you know and the artists and filmmakers that you see asking for help on social media, because the entire business has been shut down in its traditional way. And although there are some digital works, it's just not quite the same revenue raiser as a traditional in-cinema experience is. So it's a year of, it's a tough year. It's a year where we need everyone to be there for each other.
So what kind of lessons have you learned from this? And do you think that, are there some advantages also to the online thing? You're getting viewers now from all over the world. They don't physically have to come to a theater in San Francisco or in the Bay Area. Has that opened some things up in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. And we love grabbing audiences from wherever they can reach us. We're mainly California-based for this festival, and we are having ticket sales from all over the state. And it is great to reach those people. It really is very important to us. What we learned is that our audience really respect and love Frameline, and they will come with us as we pivot down into different ways of showcasing films. They've been extremely loyal, and we're so proud that that has remained the case. We've also learned that, we're resilient, and with very little time, we can turn, an entire way we run an organization around. And it's just about making sure we connect to the people that we provide films for. And we're just so pleased that we achieved that this year, even with these strange circumstances.
Great. So let's talk about the shorts packages. One of my favorites in the past has always been Fun and Boys Shorts, Fun and Girls Shorts too. I didn't see them in the lineup this year, but I did see other packages, including international shorts, animated shorts, Buy Candy, and Envy Love, non-binary shorts. This is Frameline's first non-binary shorts program. So tell us about these changes.
Yeah, we did Fun and Boys and Fun and Girls as a pop-up in June, and they were very successful. I was very pleased to sell out the equivalent of the Castro Theater, except virtually. So the tradition lives on with those programs. But in this time, we've actually got a great collection of short films. One of the best sellers is actually the animation shorts, which is unusual to see such a strong, wonderful collection of animated LGBTQ plus films. It's just beloved by everyone who buys a ticket. So I really recommend that. But we've also got, as you mentioned, great programs that feature, you know, bi individuals or non-binary individuals. And the films in those packages are really, really beautiful. And my favorite always is the international dramas. I just love seeing representations of LGBTQ plus life from around the world and just how the differences, the similarities, and the really beautiful dramas that are made everywhere that we can showcase to our Frameline audience.
So you're not talking about just the shorts now, but you're talking about international films in general.
Of course, international films in general, but we do have a specific international shorts program as well.
Well, I don't have any clips from the shorts to play, but I do have a clip of Monsoon that I can play.
Yeah, Monsoon's one of our bestsellers. It's just a beautiful film set in Vietnam from a UK Vietnamese individual returning to Vietnam after 30 years of being away.
So in this scene, our protagonist Kit is out on a first date in a Saigon nightclub. It's his first time to Saigon as an adult.
And how are you finding Saigon?
My God, it's intense. It's relentless.
Is it your first time here?
Yeah.
You look like your picture. Thank God.
Everything I said was true. My age, size.
Yeah?
Better
to be honest. I don't mean we reveal our innermost secrets, you know. You know, just the basics. Things that are not such as, you know. I'm rambling. What?
Please don't waste my time. Be forthcoming with recent clear face pics. I want to see your eyes. Be honest and upfront with your intentions.
Okay. I sound f***ing crazy.
It's played by Henry Golding, who's the lead in Crazy Rich Asians. And we've done a talk with him that's going to show after the film, and he's so charming. And everybody absolutely loves him. It's just a really quality drama that people are going to really love. It's definitely one of the titles to see of Frameline 44.
All right. I think I have time for one last clip. But before I do, I just want to get, you know, a little bit about your background. You were festival director of a couple of different festivals in Australia, right?
Yeah, I did a queer film festival. It's called Mardi Gras Film Festival, which coincides with the big Pride celebration there in Sydney. I've run that with Paul Struthers, who actually is also with me at Frameline. We both came over to this from Sydney to Frameline. We ran that for 4 years, which was a really great experience. And it's a really good festival, one of the top five in the world for LGBTQ plus films. It was really wonderful. But I also spent a decade at Sydney Film Festival, which is kind of where I learned everything. And I went from the very bottom of the company right up towards, you know, senior management, and ended up running all of their operations and marketing for a number of years. And that was just a wonderful learning curve. It's a huge festival. They've got almost a 200,000 audience, and they play 350 films. It was a real experience being a part of something so huge. And I loved that. So it was wonderful.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that sounds like a wonderful experience. Do you feel it prepared you for the madness of San Francisco and the madness of this year that we're going through?
Nothing can prepare anyone for 2020, I think. But it certainly was incredible for knowing that no matter what happens, you can get through it. Because a beast like that, something so large, really is a full adventure. And once you achieve, you know, making it happen and it being a success, you just feel that confidence that you can take any challenge and, you know, make it work. And so, yeah, I do carry that with me. I would never have expected the challenges that we are facing, though, with COVID. That's just I've never seen anything like it, nor have any of us, I think.
Now we just have to hope that the smoke from our fires doesn't block the view of the drive-in movie screen on your opening night. Oh, what a year. Do you have any personal faves for the audience for this year's festival?
Yeah, I actually have a fave, which is from New Zealand, which is a transmasculine film called Rurungi. It's just beautiful and sweet, and it kind of mixes, you know, trans politics and dating, but also like farming life and environmental activism into this really beautiful piece of cinema that I just adore. And so that's another film, if you're looking for something to just make you feel really charmed and happy at the end of your evening, I highly recommend that film.
Tell us the name again, please.
Rurungi, which is a Maori term for a town that's there in New Zealand.
Thanks for sharing your personal favorite with us. That sounds great. Looks like we do have time for another clip. This is from the suspense thriller Through the Glass Darkly. Since the sudden disappearance of her preteen daughter Lily, Charlie, played by Robin Lively of Teen Witch and Twin Peaks fame, has never stopped searching the sleepy Georgia hamlet where she lived with her partner. When the granddaughter of the town's matriarch also vanishes, and the sheriff suspects Charlie, she sets out to find answers. She's approached by a woman who says she's a TV reporter and convinces Charlie to team up with her. As they dig into the town's dark past, Charlie comes face to face with her own destructive demons in this tense psychological thriller. She and film viewers have a hard time telling how much the pills she's taking and the whiskey she drinks affect her perception of reality. This clip is actually from two scenes close together in the film.
I believe you when you say that these cases are connected and that there's some sort of conspiracy going on in this town. I think you're right, and I can help.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm tired of men doing f***ed up shit and getting away with it.
Oh, so that's it. You're just on a little crusade.
Aren't you? We both want the same thing. The truth about what happened. That's Belinda Jones's address.
How did you get this?
I told you I have a source. The way I see it, you got a target on your back. You need me.
All due respect, sweetheart. Nobody in this town will even talk to you. Sounds more like you need me.
Fine. Deal. But don't you ever call me sweetheart again. I don't do the misogynist bullshit, even if you are a woman.
Whatever you say, darling.
My car or yours?
She has these flashbacks, and it's really, as a viewer, it's kind of like, what's going on with her? So it's very suspenseful, actually, and very well played. Can you tell us anything about this film and why it was chosen for the festival?
We are just really happy to be playing a moody, dark thriller, something really fun for people to sink their teeth into, great performances. It's just a film that I think people who love thrillers or really dark dramas are going to respond to really well. And we just love playing different films that, you know, have a different genre. That's what makes up a festival, is playing a lot of really exciting, very different types of work. And Through the Glass Darkly is a really strong, fantastic thriller.
Yes, it's very well acted, beautifully shot. And I have to say, as someone who's gone to the film festival over many years, I think probably the first one was back in the earlier mid-90s, I would say that the overall quality of the films has certainly raised over that time. I mean, I remember going to films like you couldn't hear it, the audio was so bad, the shooting was very amateurish, but you got a lot of flavor of what was going on in people's lives, and that's still, the diversity is fantastic.
I agree. The queer film in general has really risen from heights to heights to heights. It's gotten so much better, and it's because of festivals like Frameline that have given people a career. They've gone on to make more films and become stronger filmmakers. It's created an ecosystem where these films can make money. They're financially successful, which means more money can be put into the new films to make even greater ones. The industry has matured, And it's a really exciting thing to come to a festival like Frameline now and watch all these really great films and appreciate where we've come.
Anything else you'd like to say about Frameline in general? I know you've got other programs besides the festival every year.
Frameline's doing a lot. And actually, that's one of the exciting things about it. So in addition to the festival, we've actually got a education program that reaches 28,000 students per year that's going out digitally this year. And it's really important for how students feel in their schools by engaging with this resource material. And Frameline's also the world's largest nonprofit LGBTQ plus distribution company. And what that means is we purchase films and put them out into cinemas and on VOD, video on demand, and onto streaming platforms around the country and even around the world. And we've got some great titles coming up, including one which is a history of lesbian filmmaking called Dykes Camera Action, and another really great film about an election in the Navajo Nation called Moroni for President. And these will all be available to watch whenever you want, all thanks to Frameline Distribution.
Moroni for President, I did see the little blurb about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? It seems very timely.
It's actually very timely with an election coming up. But it's about a Navajo Nation man who decides to run for the presidency of the Navajo Nation. He's an openly gay candidate, and he runs against the establishment who have been in power for a reasonable amount of time there. And it turns out that there's, you know, lots of other gay men in positions within the different parties or different candidates. And we get to interview all these different gay men who are take part in the democracy of the Navajo Nation. It's a really, really great film. I highly recommend it.
One last question for you, James, and that is, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, the International LGBT Film Festival name has been discontinued. It's simply Frameline. Is that correct, and why?
It is still a name we have. We do call ourselves San Francisco International LGBTQ Plus Film Festival, but occasionally for space we do drop the rest of it, especially this year when we're feeling more California-based rather than only San Francisco-based. And that's because of the way geo-blocking works. All of our films are available to anyone in California, and that's the first time that's ever happened. So it's a bit of an embrace of that kind of openness to be across a larger geographic region than normal. There will always be the San Francisco International LGBTQ Plus Film Festival, and that name will be even more prominent when we return to the Castro Theater and to all of our homes like the Roxy.
Okay, fantastic. So when you said available to in California, does this mean they're not available to folks outside of California?
It means the simple answer is yes.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a distribution deal, I suppose, right?
Exactly right. And we don't want to step on the toes of other wonderful queer film festivals across the country. It's very important to keep that ecosystem alive.
Very good. Thank you very much. Pleasure to meet you, James.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been James Woolley, Executive Director of Frameline. We've been talking about Frameline 44 Queer Film Festival. It runs 11 days starting Thursday, September 17th, with the world premiere of And Champagne, the only in-person event of the festival. It's at the West Winds Solano Drive-In. Learn more at frameline.org about the entire festival. We'll have the link on our website too, outinthebay.org. I want to thank my co-producers, Truk Nguyen and Kendra Klang. Hey, would you like to join our team? There are many ways we could use your talents in audio production, social media, program distribution, fundraising, and more. Let us know how you might be able to help. If things go well, volunteer help could become paid. If you're interested, please write to us, outinthebaysf@gmail.com. That's outinthebaysf@gmail.com. You may know, if you've been listening for a while, that Comcast California generously funded our summer relaunch, and we're so grateful. But these 10 weeks have passed, and now we need listener support to help sustain our service. We know it's a challenging time for many, but if you find value in what we do and can afford to chip in, please consider a gift of any size. Just click the donate button on our website, outinthebay.org. That's outinthebay.org. We thank you so much. I'm Eric Jansen. Thank you for joining us out in the Bay. Thank you.